Arden's Wellings, a writer for Sportsnet.ca. He's co-host of the At the Letters Sportsnet's Baseball Blue Jays podcast. Arden, you guys are doing the podcast. That's like tonight. That's still going on?
We recorded one today.
Okay.
About an hour before Jaime Garcia signed. So it's already outdated.
Cutting room floor, baby.
How frustrating.
Cutting
room old news.
Because a lot of people on, like, and they can't relate, but I will just do this between us. How frustrating is that? You're like, are you serious? We just recorded this thing. We got together and we just did it. And now he just signed. How frustrating is that?
Yes, it is. But, you know, it's fine. We talk about other stuff. Obviously, there was a lot of Blue Jays happenings today. You alluded to the Tulowitzki injury and Marcus Stroman's interactions social media. So.
Let's get to Jaime Garcia first, because when I heard about the signing, because we heard a guy like there was a lot of word around Andrew Cashner, and then he signed with the Orioles today earlier. I didn't mind Andrew Cashner, and I heard Jaime Garcia is a name that's been attached to the Blue Jays for a long time. I kind of like this signing, Arden. He bounced around three teams, kind of struggled last season. He's a left-hander. We've seen some really good Jaime Garcia in his career. Do you like this signing by the Blue Jays?
I do. I prefer Garcia to Cashner, especially considering Cashner got 2 years, $16 million, and Garcia is 1 year the max, or the guarantee is $10 million. It could be more than that with incentives. But, you know, it fits a mold of a type of pitcher that the Blue Jays like. It's, you know, it's a guy who doesn't have overpowering stuff, but he does have a terrific sinker, and he gets a lot of ground balls. He'll pitch to contact. He had pretty encouraging swing and miss rates last year, and so he can be kind of crafty, kind of deceptive. He's got a five-pitch mix, but you see a lot of sinkers and a lot of ground balls, which in an era where every hitter in baseball is trying to hit up and trying to hit with lift, everybody's trying to hit like Josh Donaldson and put the ball in the air, the Blue Jays have got some ground ball guys in their rotation, which is kind of interesting because you could see how that could, you know, how that could work.
Right. And when you look at the rotation now top to bottom, and health is obviously a big thing. When you think of health, you think right away of Aaron Sanchez, Marcus Stroman coming off a career. We'll talk about him and his drama on Twitter later. Marco Estrada, when he figured things out personally, said it was a personal issue that he struggled on the mound with. Once he got his head right, he was the old Marco Estrada the second half of the season. I think J-Hap had a bit of a down year last year, but he had a tremendous 2016. Tough to top that. When I look at this rotation top to bottom, if it can stay healthy with a guy like Jaime Garcia, I think the Blue Jays can legitimately challenge for that second wild card spot.
I think the upside of this team is the rotation, right? And you know, the guys that you mentioned.
Right.
If J-Hap is healthy, J-Hap, people forget he missed quite a bit. You know, I think it was like 6 weeks at the beginning of last year. And so when he came back, he was fine, but the Blue Jays didn't have him for a while. Marco Estrada had 10 really good starts at the beginning of the year, 10 in the middle where he was really bad. He was awful. And like you said, there was the personal reasons. And then 10 at the end where he was himself again. Marcus Stroman was one of the best pitchers in baseball last year. Yep. Aaron Sanchez, only 36 innings. Blue Jays are hopeful they're going to get certainly a lot more than that. And now Jaime Garcia, who is, you know, he had some injury concerns earlier in his career. He's been more dependable of late. So, you know, I don't think the Blue Jays improved their offense a tremendous amount this offseason. I think they raised its floor and they have better depth. I don't think they'll be last in the American League in runs scored again, but I still think they're kind of, you know, middle of the pack to below average offensively. But there is upside in this starting rotation, especially if the Blue Jays have health there, which they did not have last year. They used 12 starting pitchers.
Yeah, with 12 starting pitchers, and keeping that in mind, what do they do with Joe Biagini? Do they send him down to Buffalo where he continues to work on being a starter, or do they put him in the bullpen where he's a very good piece?
I think there's some disagreement within the organization about what the Blue Jays do there. Joe Biagini is going to continue to be stretched out during spring training, which is what you do because you want to go in that direction where you keep a guy as a starter and you keep the option of turning him into a reliever instead of going the other direction. Because if you make him into a reliever, then he has to kind of stay like that unless you're going to stretch him back out. So you'll keep him like that. If the Blue Jays add another reliever or two, fine. Joe Biagini can go to AAA Buffalo, be the number one starter there, the number six for the Blue Jays, and be ready to be called upon. He has that minor league option. But if they don't add another reliever or two, I think he would serve a much better purpose to this team as a, you know, a multiple inning reliever coming out of the bullpen.
What does Biagini, like, what goes through his mind if he does get sent down to Buffalo and, well, he's in Buffalo and he's not with the big team, but yet he's the starting pitcher as, you know, basically their ace. So what, how do you play with that mindset?
I think he gets it. You know, he understands his role. And, you know, last year he was sent down to Buffalo during the season to get stretched out as a starter. So it's something that he's accepted in the past. And I think that he, you know, in his heart of hearts, he probably wants to be a starter. I think all pitchers want to be starters if they can. And, you know, it makes sense. You can make a lot more money in your career as a good starting pitcher than you can as a good reliever. So, and Joe Biagini has the stuff. And he has the physical makeup to do it. The issue has been consistency. Last year, you know, he would kind of go one decent start and then one bad start. One decent start, one bad start. So to be fair to him, maybe, you know, it helps that he has a spring training and he gets to start the year as a starter and he gets to build up to that and he gets to really focus on it. Whereas last year, he kind of flip-flopped back and forth. But the Blue Jays might need him in the bullpen if they don't add to it.
What is better, this is two questions, what is better for the Blue Jays as an organization to have him as the sixth guy or in the bullpen, and what do you think he wants to do? Because it's hard to get a straight answer from that guy. I like that he's weird and he's quirky, and I kind of enjoy it because he's not your run-of-the-mill interview, but when he's actually being straight, and I'm not sure when that actually is, do you think he wants to be in the bullpen or a starter?
I think that in his heart of hearts, he wants to be a starting pitcher. I think that all pitchers want to be starters. I think he's also just open to anything, you know, and I think he's willing to, I think he's a team first guy, and I think he's willing to do whatever's best for the team. And I think that there's disagreement within the Blue Jays organization. I think there's those in the front office who think Joe Biagini has upside as a starter. Look, he's got five pitches. Several of them are plus pitches. You know, he can attack an order differently. Yeah. First time through, second time through, third time through, and he's got, you know, the build physically to hold up as a starter. But John Gibbons, I think, and you know, Pete Walker look out at their bullpen right now and say, you know who we could really use out there is a guy we can bring in for the sixth and seventh inning, who can get us six outs, who can throw 94 to 95 with some off speed and a good changeup. And bridge that gap to Ryan Tepera and Roberto Osuna at the back end of the bullpen.
Aaron Sanchez threw a bullpen yesterday. Russell Martin caught it. Russell Martin, the new buff Russell Martin, because he's put on some muscle. But Martin said it was great. Like, there was speed, there was accuracy. Obviously, it's early and it's just a bullpen session. But do you just hold your breath here because of the blisters? Because no one really had an answer yet. And I don't, like, do they come back? Blisters? Like, do you hold your breath? Like, I'm really concerned about this because there was no answer. No one gave me an answer to why he had these.
The ball. It was the new ball, was it not?
Well, that's what Marcus Stroman was saying, was that it was the ball that was causing it.
He wasn't the only one saying that last year, right?
Yeah, I think the few pitchers had gripes.
Verlander said something different, too.
There was a lot of pitchers. Johnny Cueto had never had blister issues before, and all of a sudden he had blister issues.
There's something to that, is there not?
I'm not a pitcher, I don't know, but I trust the guys.
There's a lot of pitchers out there that didn't have blisters, too.
I trust the guys who are actually throwing the balls, right? For Aaron Sanchez, people forget that in 2016 he dealt with blisters as well.
Yeah.
He was just able to get through it.
I was reminded of that yesterday, actually, and I'm like, wow, I totally forgot. Yeah. So this is 2 years in a row now, and I am concerned.
But in 2016, he had the blisters, and he led the American League in ERA, you know, and he threw 192 innings. It was 2017, he just wasn't able to pitch through it, so... I think it's probably going to be something he deals with his entire career. It's something that he's going to have to manage. It's going to be very interesting to monitor his workload this spring. He threw only 36 innings last year. So you're going to want him to throw a good amount this spring just to get his arm built back up and build up that stamina. It's been a while since he's been on a regular every 5 days starting pitcher's schedule. At the same time, you're going to want to manage his workload so you don't put too much stress on those fingers. During the regular season, you know, this year there's six more off days than there were last year. So the Blue Jays can get creative with the rotation. They can skip him. You know, it's going to be a constant monitoring and a thing that, you know, the Blue Jays are going to have to, sorry about this, keep their finger on for the entire season. I don't think it's something that we can sit here today and say it's going to be this way or it's going to be that way. It's going to be something where you're just constantly looking at feedback, constantly seeing how he's feeling and assessing and going from there.
He writes for Sportsnet.ca. He's the co-host of the At the Letters podcast, the Sportsnet's Blue Jays podcast, joining us here on Sportsnet tonight. Arden Zwelling, that's Sherry. I'm George Arden. Some of the moves the Blue Jays have done, adding to the bullpen, John Axford and Craig Breslow. What are your thoughts on those moves? Because it seems like both those guys are kind of like lottery tickets. If they pitch well, they could do really well for the Blue Jays. And if not, we tried. They're veteran guys. Which one of those guys do you think has more of a chance to stick around come opening day?
You could throw Al Albuquerque in there well. Jake Pietrzyk. I mean, the Blue Jays have just kind of thrown a bunch of minor league free agent veteran relievers at the wall, and they're going to see which one sticks.
Right.
That's essentially how they've approached, you know, reinforcing this bullpen right now. There could still be additions. You know, there's a lot of free agents out there. There's good relievers that are still out there. So the Blue Jays could still bolster this bullpen. They could find a starter that's not, you know, that's not finding a rotation home somewhere across baseball and say, hey, do you want to come be a reliever for us? We'll see. But yeah, it's so hard to, you know, to handicap that. And I'm not out there. I'm not seeing how these guys are throwing. But, you know, right. The Blue Jays are certainly hoping that one or two of those guys turn out and still have some major league run left in their arms.
I'm really disappointed in the Troy Tulowitzki situation. And it doesn't just happen in baseball. It happens in every sport, at every training camp, every spring training, every whatever. They come in and, oh, by the way, I'm injured. Oh, by the way, I have these bone spurs that I could have probably lasered out at some point during the offseason. So I'm thinking, why do they do that? Because this team needs Troy Tulowitzki.
Yes. It seems like this is a bone spur that he's dealt with for some time. And he aggravated it while rehabbing this offseason.
Even in rehab, yeah, Arden, he gets hurt. Like, good God, he can't even stay healthy rehabbing. Good Lord, Troy.
Yeah, it's day two of spring training.
Jesus, we're
already talking about a Troy Tulowitzki injury. You know, it sounds like the Blue Jays aren't overly concerned about it and are expecting him to be ready to play on opening day. You know, I think that the Blue Jays probably would have managed his workload closely anyway over the spring, coming off of a pretty serious ankle injury and also a hamstring injury last year as well, that people forget about. So I think the Blue Jays would have been cautious anyway. But yeah, this is, you know, it's certainly not what you want, is for a guy to already be hurt before he even reports to camp. Like, he's not even there yet.
Let me give you an over-under on Troy Tulowitzki on games played in 2018. 81.5. Over-under, Arden.
Jeez, I'll go over.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Because that's $20 million you're paying for a guy you can't depend on. That's why they got all the depth.
Yes.
Because they can't depend on a guy they're paying $20 million to play shortstop for the team.
Last year it was 66 games. Year before that it was 131.
So. I'm going under then.
You're going under?
I'll take
the under. It's frustrating. Talk about the middle of the infield. And a guy, to me, he feels like he's always the table setter for this team. And when he's healthy, this offense just clicks. What's the latest on Devin Travis? We've seen the videos of him running, which is a great sign. The only thing that really worries me, and I think we talked about this last season, is Devin Travis did know how he got hurt. And that's very alarming to me. How do you hurt your knee so bad and you don't remember, or you can't pinpoint a time where you actually hurt your knee? That's troublesome to me. And is that label that Devin Travis has as an injury-prone player, is that a little unfair? Because the shoulder thing was a birth defect. He was born that way. They had to fix that. I get that. Troy Tulowitzki's class, there's no question that he is just an injury-prone player. I can't put that label yet on Devin Travis. How many games does that guy have to play to shed that label this season? North of 120, right?
Yeah, he probably has to play close to a full season. I mean, anytime he gets hurt, people are going to bring up his injury history. And like you said, the shoulder thing was a birth defect.
It's not his fault.
That's been corrected. It's been bone bruises now in both knees, I believe, with him. And, you know, a bone bruise is a tough injury because sometimes you can think that you're over it. And you can feel good, and you're not fully over it. And you re-aggravate it, and it's actually worse than it was before. Michael Saunders did that during the famous sprinkler season, or he tripped on the sprinkler.
Oh, good Lord.
So, yeah, bone bruises are nagging, tough injuries. But, look, you know, if anybody is familiar with Devin Travis's physicality right now, it's the Blue Jays training staff. They've spent a lot of time with him over the last few years. So they're going to know what's best for him and how to progress him.
We saw some changes and the behind the scenes of some of the training staff and the medical staff. And that maybe something had to do with Aaron Sanchez is going back to his blister issues. And even Ross Atkins said that, you know what, if we could do it over again, we would mishandle the situation. We were trying to do our best. You think some of these injuries the Blue Jays are having, you think they were saying maybe some of this is on us for not treating these things properly? Because it kind of feels like it is based on the changes they made in the offseason.
Yeah, you know, that's interesting. I think that there was just, you know, the Blue Jays' new regime brought in, this high-performance department when they came over. And it's a good thing. It's a modernized thing. You know, this is where I mean, European football clubs have done this kind of stuff for years and years and years. Olympic athletes have done this stuff for a long time. You know, Major League Baseball is kind of lagging behind. And you're actually seeing a lot of other clubs, over the last couple of years, institute their own versions of a high-performance department. So this is where it's going. I just, I don't know if it was a seamless transition, and maybe that's why we've seen some of the personnel changes that we have. What I can say is Nikki Huffman, who is the new head athletic therapist, she's a pro. She came over from Duke University. They discovered her because she helped Marcus Stroman rehab his knee injury 3 years ago now, whenever that was.
Does she have a chip on her shoulder too?
She's very nice. Okay, she's lovely. So. I very much enjoy interacting with her.
I'm glad to hear that.
And the players absolutely are head over heels for her. The players love working with her. Marcus Stroman speaks worlds of her. Devin Travis, everybody who interacts with her says great things. So, I think she's going to be a really positive influence on that clubhouse this year.
Speaking of positive influence, will the Josh Donaldson thing become maybe a distraction? Because he came out the other day, he said the Jays haven't come to him. They haven't talked about an extension. Like, he keeps needling. He keeps putting things out there. Like, will this become, a distraction as the season starts?
Well, to be fair, we keep asking him.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. Right. Yeah, that's true. It's us. It's always us.
He's just answering the questions he's asked. Spring training is the time when something like that would, occur, like a contract negotiation, an extension talks would occur during spring training. So I would expect that to be broached. We'll see what happens. I think the Blue Jays would like to see how this free agent market plays out, because it'll affect next year's market, and that would affect what you might offer him. I think everybody knows what the possible conclusions are, right? It's either he signs an extension, he doesn't and he's traded, or he doesn't and he walks away. So it can't really be a distraction if you know what the possible conclusions are.
If you're the GM, what do you do?
Well, I mean, I would try to sign him to an extension that made sense for my franchise if I was the GM. And, he has to be willing to, you have to find that common ground in any contract negotiation. So if you can't find that common ground, then you don't re-sign him, and you see how the team is doing through the trade deadline. And that's the next juncture where you got to make a decision on him.
Do you think because of this crazy baseball offseason, and even last year, I don't think any of us anticipated it would be like this.
Yeah.
Because we've always seen sluggers who hit a lot of home runs. Everyone gets paid. All the players are happy. Teams blow their brains out, spending on money, and all of a sudden they regret some of these contracts. Do you think Josh and his representation sees what's going on in baseball? And we know next winter is the biggest free agent bonanza in the history of baseball. But the guy's going to be 33 years old. Do you think he can go to the Blue Jays and go, listen, I will take a hometown discount, because he wants that guaranteed 5-year deal, gets money. Maybe he'll take a little less money, but he has that guarantee. Because Arden right now, and Josh Donaldson can very well be the MVP of baseball in 2019 because he's such a tremendous hitter. But he's 33. Do you think he would get the amount of money that we all thought he was going to get, maybe even before last offseason? Because I don't think he is.
Well, so the tremendous hitter thing, that's the thing, because I don't think hometown discounts exist for a guy of his caliber. This is a guy who could be the MVP this year.
100% he
could be. Year, when he came back from that injury, he played like an MVP over the rest of the year. It was that he just missed too much time at the beginning. So I think, Josh Donaldson could bet on himself and say, look, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to show that I'm still one of the best hitters on the planet. And that if you want your team to be good in 2019, that you should give me what I'm worth in the free agent market. I don't ever advocate for a player taking a discount or, settling. I think that if you believe in yourself and you believe you're that good, bet on yourself.
Right. And he is making $23 million this season, so he's doing okay for himself. And why wouldn't he? Because he's in a can't lose situation. Because if the team's terrible, more than likely he's going to get dealt at the deadline, I think, to a contending team, and he has a chance at a world championship. If the Blue Jays are good, great. More than likely they're going to hold on to him and then try to win a world championship here. Josh Donaldson's in a can't lose situation this year, is he not?
Yeah, I mean, he's certainly not going to get on the open market if he does go to the open market what he would have, in 2012, right?
Like right.
When teams
well, that's why I asked you about the hometown discount, and maybe he can look at this and go, oh, I don't know.
Yeah, teams valued power differently, a number of years ago. But we've seen this trend for a few years now where teams are unwilling to, pay players later in their, and they don't have an incentive to either, to pay players later in their career for past performance. So look, Josh Donaldson's going to be 33 as a free agent if he becomes a free agent. That's a fact. But if he has another MVP caliber season, you can say I'm one of the best hitters on the planet. You want me playing for your team.
So Roberto Osuna went to arbitration and he lost and we didn't hear about it. Marcus Stroman went to arbitration and he lost. And boy, did we hear about it. We read about it on Twitter pretty much all day where he lost his arbitration case. He said that the team had negative things to say against him, his own team. That will never leave his mind. That's fuel for the fire. That I think that tweet is down now. There's a few, you know, tweets
he deleted
down.
It.
Yes, but of course, last arbitration where he won, he loved the team and thanks for the process. And the process was great and thanks that the team did so well. So, like, I think Marcus Stroman is amazing. I get it. But I don't know if I need to hear from him all the time.
Then don't follow him on Twitter. It's pretty easy. Pretty easy to avoid.
But before we answer, Arden, I think a lot of people, can you explain it? Because a lot of people don't realize that they think that, oh, the Blue Jays are just lowballing him over $400,000. Yeah. The process doesn't work that way. Can you explain how the process works?
Yeah, I mean, the Blue Jays and Marcus Stroman's representation would have negotiated at different numbers than they filed at in arbitration. So, you know, the Blue Jays would have negotiated at, lower than they did. And Marcus's representation, Legacy Agency, who also represent Roberto Osuna, by the way, would have, negotiated at more. And then they filed at a $400,000 difference. So, you know, it's not a situation where, you know, anybody's being cheap or whatever. It's just this is the process. And as a player, if you're, for Marcus Stroman, you want those extra $400,000 because that means that gives you a better platform year next year in arbitration. It increases your future earning potential. As the Blue Jays, you want to save those $400,000 because you can use that on another player to make your team better.
Right.
It's
just business.
So is this?
I was surprised that Marcus went to the hearing and was aggrieved with what he heard because he should know that that's what's going to happen in an arbitration hearing is that the team is going to argue against you. I'd be interested to hear how they did because he's got terrific numbers over the last couple of years. So.
And there's no question he was the Blue Jays' best pitcher last year.
Yes.
And I think it got kind of lost in the terrible 2017 because there was a lot of negativity around this team, but he was far and away their best pitcher, had a tremendous season. Now, when we talk about Marcus Stroman, is this because he says he heard all these things, just clarify this. He's not in on the meetings. He's just hearing this via his agent, correct?
I think he went out to Arizona for the meeting. I don't know if he's actually in the room. I think he would have had the right to be. So maybe I don't know why he would go out there if he wasn't in the room. So I think he probably was.
Now, is this a maturity thing that he should know better because this is just a process?
I mean, I don't know if he wanted to go out there and sit in on the meeting. He knew he was going to hear negative things about himself. It's an arbitration hearing. Like,
that's
what
I mean.
You're going to hear.
Right.
So
does somebody need to pull him inside and go, Marcus, this is how things work in baseball. This happens all the time.
I'm sure his agents mentioned it.
Right. But I mean, but then why go to social media and say these things and then promptly delete the tweet after? I understand he's an emotional guy and he needs this chip on this shoulder mentality, but it seems like a lot of this hatred and he needs this to fuel himself, which is cool, but I don't think anybody in this city, Arden, is rooting against Marcus Stroman. I think a lot of the fans are a little tired of it because it's like, Marcus, we like you. We know you're a really good pitcher.
Right.
Just chill. Like, things will work out for you.
It is, that's been his trend on social media. That's what, it's not the first time that he's made, impulsive comments on social media. That's just what he does. And if you don't like it, don't pay attention to them. As a Blue Jays fan, you should only care about what he does on the mound. And he does great things on the mound. There are, countless athletes throughout the history of professional sports who, if you actually got to know them, you would probably hate their guts. You would probably find them reprehensible,
That's right.
It's just with social media today, you just have this direct line to certain players who use it to show sides of their personality that people may find unappealing. But if you don't like that, then don't follow him on social media. It shouldn't matter to you who an athlete is as a person. It should just matter to you what they do on the field of play. Because as a fan, you're cheering for wins.
And it's funny how it's a double-edged sword. Because some of it we want, stop being such, the cookie-cutter answer, the cliches, and not really telling us anything. But then when a guy's actually emotional and he wants to say something, he goes out and does it, and then he's vilified for it.
Yeah.
It's a can't-win situation for an athlete.
People say, why won't you be honest? Why won't you just tell us the truth?
Right.
And then they do, and you say, stop being so honest.
Right.
Stop telling us the truth. We don't like it.
Yeah, but it is it's a double-edged sword with him because he said, you know, he does whine. He does. He has this.
Whine about what, though?
Like, when you say just he whines, everything that goes like wrong. Every time he hits the Twitter button, he can't help himself. He can't help himself. He's cutting something down. But yet he says he has a thick skin. And I don't get that. I don't, like, whether he's whining about, you know,
I'm not going to defend
the umpires or whether he's, you know, complaining about, you know, the team he's facing or people who don't believe him. I love the tweet today of how he has thick skin because he really, truly doesn't have thick skin.
I'm not here to defend his arguments. I'm just going to say if somebody doesn't like what he does on Twitter, don't follow him on Twitter. Just enjoy him as a pitcher, for which he is a fascinating pitcher.
Absolutely. Right. I love his stuff.
He does things on the mound that other pitchers don't, you know, in terms of varying his delivery, the hesitations that he uses, the hitches. I think this year you're going to see him play around with arm slots a lot. Yep. That's fascinating to me. And I wish he actually opened up about that stuff a bit more. I think he wants to keep some of it proprietary and he doesn't want, you know, people to know what he's up to, but... Yeah, I mean, just enjoy him as an athlete. There's so many athletes that if you really got to know them and their thoughts, people would feel the same way. It's just with Marcus Stroman, he's putting them out there. And that's what, you know, that's for him, that's part of the consequence of putting your thoughts out there is not everybody's going to like it. Not everybody's going to like my thoughts or your thoughts. You know, it's the way it is when you put your, when you're, you know, you lay it all bare, you're going to get both sides of the feedback.
Arden Zwelling is a writer for Sportsnet.ca. He's the co-host of the At the Letters podcast. Grab the latest edition right now.
Don't talk about Jaime Garcia.
Don't say that. I wasn't going to say that. You did. Thanks for doing this, pal.
Thanks,
there's Arden Zwelling.